Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every child is conceived in sin and is born with a sinful nature at birth. Therefore, they do not have a predisposition to obey parents. They only have a predisposition to obey sin. Because they are born with a sinful nature. The Bible tells us sin is every child's master. Just because the child is not in the age of accountability, it doesn't mean that the child is not sinful. It's just that they are not held accountable, that's all. And you can see the behavior of children before the age of accountability, which is a little subjective depending on the child himself or herself. Some children are a little bit more aware, gifted, whichever word you want to describe. And so perhaps by the age of 5 or 6, even before they started primary 1 at the age of 7, more or less, they know the difference between the right hand and the left hand. Right and wrong, in other words. But let's say, on an average, the age of accountability, say, is P1 and above, 7 years and above, let's say, for argument's sake. You can see the sinful behavior of children from 6 downwards. You don't have to tell them. They don't have to tell you. They will throw tantrums. They will demonstrate selfish behavior. All these are sinful behavior and characteristics, even though they are not aware of who they are or what is right or wrong before the age of accountability has arrived. These are the clear evidence that they are born to disobey mom and dad. They will obey sin. They will listen to the God of this world. They will be seduced by the God of this world. They will be inclined to all the lures of the God of this world. And the lures are much, much more than before. Because of the internet, you and I know entertainment is global and it travels at the speed of the click of a mouse. In the past, they do not travel overseas. Many people will probably be born in their city, live throughout their lives inside the same city, and they will probably die in the same city without setting foot outside of their city. In the time of the Bible. But not today. Our children are born with a handphone. Our children are born with the world at their fingertips. That means, just as the world is at their fingertips, so will they be at the fingertips of the God of this world, controlling them. And that is why, parents, you have to be very mindful of your children's predisposition. And if they are not born again and they have crossed the line of accountability, the age of accountability, they now become more willful. And as they mature, as they grow older and older, and as they enter into the teenage years, they become even more willful, which means obeying the voice of the God of this world become more dominant. That's what happens. And then as they continue to grow older into adulthood, now with more money at their disposal, not only are they more inclined to follow the ways of the world, the voice of the devil, now they have the financial authority to do so. You may curtail them in their teenage years, especially in Singapore, where they still depend upon mom and dad's pocket money. You can curtail them. They cannot indulge in some of the vices that will cost them quite a large amount of money, like drinking, like smoking, like gambling. But once they are adults, they started to earn, they will now feel pretty financially independent. And with the full demonstration of their sinfulness, this time round as adults. They will continue to turn their back on Christ and face the world and love it. Now this is the journey of every child growing up. Unless parents do something to turn that around. And so when the Bible tells us how to be a Christian child, these three verses are short, succinct, but very, very clear, crisp, and sharp. Just like a double-edged sword, able to divide bone and marrow, soul and spirit. First and foremost, they just simply have to obey. Now we are talking about, the Bible is talking about a Christian child. A non-Christian child, an unbelieving child, it's impossible. Just like the previous passage in chapter 5. It's a Christian wife, it's a Christian husband. That is why the phrase is, in the Lord, is used. Just like, wives submit to your own husbands as in the Lord. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you are not born again, how do you know I'm not born again? Well, see how you relate to your parent. That's how we know whether you're born again. We know enough that to be born again is more than just simply saying some words. If there are no evidence, concrete evidence, and if you want concrete evidence, let's simply look at your home. Not in school with your friends. You want your friends to be with you. You want to be part of your friends' clique. You are prepared to change. You are prepared to do what your friends want in order to join them. But with parents, you show your true self. And it's not just simply a couple of hours in school. It's day in and day out the moment you step through the door. From the beginning you wake up to the day you sleep. If you disobey your parents, you can shout from the rooftop and say that I am a Christian all you want. The Lord will say otherwise. And you and I know that the Lord's word is the one that really matters. I can confess that I know Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior all I want. But if Jesus Christ does not acknowledge me as His disciple, all my clamor, all my shouting, all my writing, meaningless, vanity. And Jesus warns us in a very frightening manner, in the last day, many will say unto me, not a few, many will say unto me, I've done this, I've preached this, I've cast out devils, I have prophesied. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Matthew chapter 7. So are you a Christian, sons and daughters, as long as your parents are alive, regardless of how old you are, you bear this in mind. Obey your parents in the Lord, children. Now, of course, when you are grown up, it's hard for you to obey. And perhaps you may struggle to obey. So this obedience are definitely with reference to children who are young. Young children. Children who continue to live under parents' roof. So if you're an adult, 20 plus years old, not married, can't afford to move out, not yet, maybe plan to get married sometime in your mid-30s or whatever, as long as you are living under the roof of your mom and dad, you need to obey your mom and dad, at least in some things. Because your dad is still the head of the house. You are not, unless you have your own house, your own home. And therefore you need to obey him. Obey your mom in terms of how the house ought to be lived. How the house ought to be managed, looked after. Of course, they should not tell you what time to come home, because you're already a grown man or woman. They will give you the liberty, but they would expect you to show some courtesy to let them know that you're not coming back for dinner, some consideration, to let them know that you are out with your friends in this particular place, that they know that you are not lying to them, so that they will not be overly worried Why are you still not home when most of the time you should be home by 7:30 and now you are not back by 11 p.m.? Show some consideration. They may not give you a curfew, but it doesn't mean that you are inconsiderate. Let them know in advance where you are, what you are doing. But you have to obey them. If their rules are still very, very Christian, even though you may not be a Christian, and I hope that you are, but if you are not, you still have to obey. And if they say no smoking in the house, no smoking. No drinking in the house, no drinking. No bringing the opposite sex into the house all alone when mom and dad are not around. You can't bring. You still got to obey. Of course, not like a little child where you have to obey almost in everything. As you grow older, you are supposed to be more independent, making your own righteous decisions. But this is for a Christian child. And therefore, we are going to approach it from a Christian child perspective. And if you confess that you are a Christian, then we assume that you are a Christian child as well. But whether you are truly one or not, that's between you and God. And that's what you have to bear in mind. Because the Christian child, the Lord says to you, obey. Present imperative. That's why you have to obey. Listen. Listen attentively to your mom and dad. And the Bible here did not even say Christian mom and dad. Do you know that? Just as it did not say obey your Christian husband or the wife or the husband, Christian husband, to love your Christian wife. It's just simply because you say you are a Christian, it doesn't matter whether your parents are believers or not. You are to obey them, and of course, if they are not believers, you must always obey them in the Lord. Even though they are believers, you also obey them in the Lord. Because parents are not perfect. And because they are not perfect, you have this tendency, just like all of us have this tendency, to magnify the imperfections of mom and dad and forget the good things that they do in your life. This is our nature, as it were. Not good. Even after we are born again, we still have this inclination. You know, sometimes it is very sad and painful when members in the congregation who have been in the church for 20 years plus, and then suddenly they want to leave the church and they want to look for a scapegoat. And of course, the scapegoat is usually the pastor. And they will say, well, I learned nothing from this church. And so sometimes you ask yourself, if you learned nothing from this church, then why have you been here for 20 plus years? Or maybe you don't learn anything right now. Perhaps, fine. But do not say, I learned nothing from this church, as if it is from the very beginning. Forget the good things. You forget what the parents did when you were just an infant. Of course, you say, I can't remember a thing. How they sacrificed. How they spent sleepless nights when you had a fever and they are so concerned to make sure that the fever is kept low and down. Because they understand how helpless you are. And if the temperature continues to go up, you can suffer serious damage to your brain. And so they would rather not sleep to watch over you. Even though you may scream and yell because you are not comfortable and you can't speak. And they are exhausted and tired, and the next day they still have to go to work for the father. And the mother will still have to look after the home. And yet they are prepared to sacrifice their precious sleep. Exhausted, but you mean everything to them. Your health, your safety meant everything. Do you know all these things? Of course not. And some children are so ungrateful to the point of saying to mom and dad, I never asked to be born. Children like this ought actually not to be born, isn't it? Do you know how sad it is to have that kind of phrase mentioned of you by God Himself? Because that's exactly what the Lord said of who? You know, Judas Iscariot. It had been better if he had not been born. Don't say that to your parents about yourself. That is like plunging a knife into their heart. That kind of ingrate, ungratitude. Don't do that. Obey them. Of course, if they are asking you to do something criminal or wrong or immoral or unethical, by all means do not. Don't. But everything else, you obey. But what if my dad is angry and upset? Of course they will be angry and upset at times. You think they are robots? They have pressures upon pressures that you are not aware of. They work hard outside the home to provide a meal for you, to make sure that you do not have to worry about whether you have food to eat, clothes to wear, or a roof over your head. They just want you to focus on your studies. Do not be overly concerned about whether you have enough money to pay for the mortgage. And without the mortgage all paid up, you could get kicked out of the house. The father will bear this burden. And the mom will take care of the home and watch over you to make sure that the home is clean. Because cleanliness is next to godliness. And so they will work hard and you will mess up the place and they will clean you up and tidy up the place. They will vacuum, they will mop, they will wash your clothes, they will iron the clothes, they will make sure that you have clean home to live in, clean clothes to wear. And they will buy and they will cook and they will make sure that you have a healthy meal for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. And you take all these for granted year after year, year after year, and all you can do is to watch out for their shortcomings, watch out for their mistakes, watch out for all their idiosyncrasies, and then you remember them as if that's the only thing they do at home in life, forgetting and ignoring all the manifold blessings and sacrifices. That's why you have to obey your parents in the Lord. Even when they are unreasonable and they are upset, you obey them as long as what they ask you to do is not criminal, it's not against God, it's not unbiblical, you do it. Even though you may feel that it is not fair, it is not. What is fair? Life is not fair, you know that. If you want to talk about fair and justice before you do anything, you will never suffer for Christ. You think it was very fair for Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin? You think it was very fair for Jesus Christ to stand there and they spat on him and they punched him and they wove a crown of thorns and forced it down his head? You think it was very fair to Jesus? That's why it is in the Lord. For Jesus' sake. If you are born again, you know the Lord. That's what you need to do. Your obedience to them. Just obey. And do it cheerfully, willingly, because it is in the Lord. And to make it as clear as you could ever, ever be given, this is the right thing to do. That's it. Plain and simple. In other words, not to obey is wrong. Plain and simple. Whatever excuses, whatever argument, it's not going to stand. Just obey. Plain and simple. For Christian children, if you're not a Christian, you can't even if you want to. Because you are, remember, you are born with a predisposition to disobey. The only voice you're going to listen to and obey as an unbeliever is sin. And you will do it. Because it's your predisposition. The sinful nature as described by God, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the worst of all, pride of life. And your pride will always stand in the way unless you are born again in Christ, where the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all these dominions have been broken for good. And therefore you learn humility because you have the mind of Christ. And now you will think of Christ and therefore you will do it for Christ's sake. That because it is for the sake of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will do it cheerfully, happily, willingly, just as you see mom do it to dad in her submission. Obey. That's the first. Obey your parents. You know, in the book of Exodus, when you look at the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, this is commandment number 5. The word obedience is not mentioned except for the word honor. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But obey first in Ephesians 6:1, and then honor. What's the difference between obey and honor? Obedience is more visible. Honor is more invisible. It's in the heart. And you cannot obey your parents in the Lord if you first do not honor them. That's why obey and honor. And so the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, you know why people do not obey parents? Because they do not honor them. And sometimes, I agree, it is the fault of the parents. You know, parents say, well, my children and I, we are the best of friends. Why do you want to use the standard and the philosophy of the world, which is basically the devil, to relate to your children? Your children are not your friends. They are your children. And you are parents. You are not a friend to your child. You are a father, a mother to your child. Please understand that there's a world of difference. You know what friends are? Friends are what you see your children make in school. They are total strangers when they first set foot in that school. When they went into their class in primary one, everyone in the classroom is a stranger. And then they begin to chit-chat and talk. And then some people, they find it that it's some kind of attraction, friendliness, and so therefore, you hang around with this person more and more, and you find that there are a lot more things in common, and therefore, you say, this is now my friend. I have 2 friends now. I have 3 friends now, after maybe a month or two. They make friends. At first, total strangers. You are never a stranger to your child. Maybe the moment they are born, fine, you've never seen the child before. But when you first saw your son or your daughter come into this world, the feeling that comes into your heart, is it a kind of a feeling that you have for a friend? Or is it a kind of a parental love? I'm sure it is a parental love. It's not a friend kind of a love. It is not phileo. It's not a friendly kind of a love, isn't it? I mean, you have friends. When you go to work, you have friends, right? So when you look at your friends, do you feel that this friend of mine, this colleague of mine, is my son? He's not your son. He's a colleague. True? You don't buy him lunch and dinner all the time. If he doesn't have enough money to buy a brand new pair of shoes, he doesn't come to you, does he? When he wants to go on holiday, does he ask you to pay for his holiday? You do that for your children. Right? When you go on a family holiday, you buy the tickets, you plan for the whole family. Your son, your daughter, they are your children. You want your children to honor you. You teach them from a parental point of view so that when they grow up, they will never, never stop honoring you. To honor means to respect. To respect means they will never bring you down. They will never talk behind your back. They will not criticize you. Even though what you have done wrong is right, they will keep quiet. You know how serious it is to embarrass your mom and dad, even though what you say about them is factual? You ask Ham. You know Ham, right? Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the 3 sons of Noah. After the flood, Noah realized that the only profession that he could do, whatever trade, whatever skill he had before the flood came, right up to the age of 600, he could not do it anymore. Because the world was completely destroyed, and the only profession that he could do was to be a farmer. And so he planted vineyards. And so he got drunk. And in his drunken stupor, he fell asleep naked. Who saw the father naked? Ham. Everything he shared with his brothers, probably younger brothers, were true, factual. He did not make anything up. What happened? You know what happened, right?
Ham's descendants, Canaan, was cursed. But he said the truth. That's not the point. You witnessed the nakedness of your father by accident. You should have just simply turned around, take the blanket and walk backwards and cover your father's nakedness. That's it. Which was what the two brothers did. You don't open your mouth and share it. You don't humiliate your father. Plain and simple. But it's the truth. That's not the point. You honor. When you honor someone, you never bring anyone down. Do you talk bad about your mom and dad behind their backs when you chit-chat with your friends? Do you call them an old man in a very derogatory term? He's your dad, he's your mom. You don't describe them in any way as if he's your friend. They are not your friends. And sometimes we learn so much about the wrong things to do to relate to our children from books as well as from movies. And these are all the tools of the devil. Why would a Christian parent listen and read books written by the devil to help them bring up the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? It's not going to happen. You want to follow the books of the devil, you're going to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the devil. The other Lord, not the Lord and God of the Bible. And maybe that's the reason why when our children grow up, they do not honor us anymore. And if you know of anyone in the church, and you young people started to gather together and have the chit-chat, and one of them started to say nasty things about mom and dad, you better don't keep your mouth shut. You better rise to the occasion and tell the person to stop. And you remind the person of Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And tell the person, in no uncertain terms, that because this transgression is public in front of other children, you cannot pull him aside. You have to speak up right there and then in front of everyone else. But that's humiliating. So, if you do not do it openly in front of everyone after he had spoken bad things about mom and dad publicly, the other children will continue to be stumbled and they think that it is the right thing to do, an okay thing to do, because you kept quiet. But if you speak up in front of everyone, they will now realize that what this person is doing is wrong. And now they also will realize that it is wrong and they also will not follow in his footsteps. Public shame, public rebuke. And it is not your rebuke that humiliated him, it's his error, his sinful ways that humiliated himself. Honor means high regard and respect thy father and thy mother. To disrespect and dishonoring them is to disrespect and dishonor God. How come? Because God was the one who chose you. Chose for you, mom and dad. You are born to them by the power of God. Do you know that? In other words, if you dishonor them, you're saying, God, you gave me a wrong set of parents. No, I prefer that my friend's father. I prefer my friend's mother. You gave me a wrong set of parents. You think God gave you a wrong set of parents? You think God Almighty would make a mistake that when your parents got married and it is time for them to have a child and you are born into the family, it's a mistake? That's why you can never dishonor your parents regardless of whether they are good or bad or whatever they are, simply because they are your parents. Plain and simple, that's it. But if they are abusive, they are your parents. Plain and simple, that's it. You may not condone their abusive behavior, but they are still your parents. You don't blabber, you don't take them to court, you don't sue them, you don't ill-treat them, you don't do any of those nasty things toward them, even though they might be nasty to you. That's a Christian child's behavior and attitude. Behavior, obedience. Attitude, honor. And that makes you a good, godly Christian son, a Christian daughter. Plain and simple. Why do you think God has to put this as a commandment? And out of all the relationships between two human beings, this is the first one. Do you know that? Do you know that? That's number five. Commandment number five out of ten. The first four is between us and God, right? Number four is to keep the Sabbath day holy. The others is don't misuse the name of God, take His name in vain. That means call yourself a Christian, behave as a Christian. Number two, don't bow down to idols. Don't make any image and bow down to it. And number one, first commandment. Only one living and true God. Beside Him there is none other. And the relationship between man and man, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, all that. The first on the list is number five, honor your parents. Parent-child relationship before any other relationship. That's how important. And God has to put it into a commandment. Out of 613, these are the top 10 lists. And God has determined that this is the first. Between all your human relationships, most important is between parent and child. And you must honor them. Regardless. If you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, we have nothing to say. God has nothing to say to you. Because even if you want to, you can't. It's impossible for a child with a sinful nature, not born again with the love of Christ in him, or without the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him, helping him, urging him, leading him, guiding him. He can't. And so if you are seated there and you say, I'm not interested, I don't care. Fine. Fine. Your salvation is basically the issue. This is not my words. These are the words of God Himself, your Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is very, very clear. Using two present tense, that means you do it all your life, and using imperative. No matter how old you grow and become, even if you are in your 60s and your parents are in their 80s, you keep on honoring them. You do not find them as a chore or as a burden. As they age, as they grow older, they become more and more helpless, more and more dependent upon you to care for them. And especially if they have some mental consideration, mental issues, they really cannot take care. Do you find them a burden and a chore and then tuck them somewhere else and forget about them? Considering them as a nuisance, they never did that to you when you were an infant. As helpless as they are now, always see it as an honor and a privilege that the Lord has bestowed upon you to honor them as a testimony of your salvation in Christ in relation to your parents. For some, the Lord may take your parents home, and even if you wish to honor them, you could not because the Lord has really taken them home. But you can honor your spiritual parents, those whom the Lord has sent into your life to help you grow spiritually. And for some of you, you may be single and your parents are not believers. You must honor them even more so that they will truly see how you have been changed after salvation. And using this transformed life with a new conduct and behavior and attitude, pray that they will come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior as well. And if your parents are believers, honor them to encourage them. If you have already been baptized as an infant, they have taken an oath to bring you up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And they know they are not perfect. They know that the pressures of family life, financial, so many pressures from all directions they have to carry and shield you from it. And at the same time, help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now that you are old enough to understand the gospel and you say that you have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, honor them by remembering them, by showing it to them in words, in kindness. And as you grow older and older, when you become more financially independent, remember them even more now that you have a stronger ability, more ways to remember them. Give them love gifts. Not that they need it. It's not a point whether they need it or not. It's your gesture. They will not ask for it. They will probably say to you in turn, "No need, son. No need, daughter. It's okay." They will say that because they will never stop loving you. But to honor them, do so all the days of their lives and your life as well. As long as the Lord keeps them, and as long as you remain a son and a daughter, and they are there around for you to honor, don't ever stop. And don't ever find it a chore and a burden. So how to be a godly child? Obey. That's your behavior and conduct. Honor. That's your heart condition, your attitude. And then third, it will be well. It will be well with you, first and foremost. This is the first commandment with promise. God says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now first, let us compare Exodus 20. There is a change. Where the Lord says in Exodus 20 verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The Bible changes to the earth instead of the land. The meaning is simply this. It does not refer to an individual having long life. Simply, it does not mean that those who die young are bad children. Those who die old of old age, then they are good children. It does not mean individually. It means as a nation. God says, if my people in the promised land were brought up properly and they learn to honor father and mother, that means the nation will be godly and good. And if you are godly and good, bearing a holy witness for Christ, why would God not keep you and protect you in the land of promise? He will not exile you. He will not turn you into captives by Gentile nations. Because every family combined together makes up the nation. And if the families are godly, the nation is godly. That's why the Lord assured them in commandment number 5. You will live long in the land. That means as a nation, you will continue to exist in the land because I see in you a holy testimony and a holy witness. And I will want you and protect you more and more, longer and longer, remaining in this land of promise, bearing a holy witness for Christ. That has always been God's desire for His people. And now God says to the church, it's no longer the land, because we are not in the land of promise. The church is not bound by a property. We worship God now only in spirit and in truth, no longer in location as well, like in the Old Testament, in spirit and in truth, and in location. And therefore, God changed the word land to the earth. And since the church, the gospel is preached all over the world, in all the continents, and if the church impacts the world for the better, and families, even though they may not be believers, they learn to honor mom and dad in a very superficial way, the world will be changed. You look at Europe, for example. Why Europe? Because that is the country that has the longest period of impact and influence by the gospel, because God sent Paul and his team, Silas, as well as Timothy. When they wanted to go east, the Macedonian call came and told them, go west. And since the time of the Apostle Paul, he brought the gospel to Philippi, and then later on to other Grecian cities or in Macedonia, Thessalonica, and then Corinth further down south. And then across to the capital city, Rome itself. And so Europe has been impacted by Christianity for the longest period of time, hundreds of years, right? 2,000 years, including when the Roman Catholic Church dominated. You read Romans 9, 10, and 11, where the Lord says, if I could use Gentiles, a people who were once upon a time not my people, and I make them my people. Basically, he was referring to the local church witness and how they have become a great blessing to the world and gave them riches, make the world richer. In what way? You look at Europe. It's very law-abiding, it's organized, it's orderly, it is not barbaric. It was barbaric long time ago. Europe is now what it is today because of the impact of Christianity for hundreds of years. You can fly there, you can go there, and you will feel safe, and your certainty of coming back is nearly 100%. You don't feel as if you're going to be captured, kidnapped, cooked over a stove and eaten up, right? Cannibalism. Before that, it was like that, barbaric. You look at those countries that have never been impacted by Christianity. You know, you find some documentaries of people still living in the jungles. They worship the trees, they worship creatures. They have many wives. And some of the women, some cultures have many husbands. You look at the morality, you look at their ethics, you look at their lifestyle. It's definitely not modern, but we are talking about from a spiritual perspective, an ethical, moral perspective. Countries that are least impacted by Christianity. Middle East, not Christianity per se, but the Old Testament. So indirectly still, which country the least impact by Christianity? Maybe China? Communist China, perhaps? We do not know. Which country? Africa, South America? Well, they have Roman Catholics. They are very strong. The world has changed because of the impact. But when you see families, right, what it is today, all broken up, divorce on the increase, men and women living together without marriage, fornicators, in other words, children are born into homes where fathers and mothers are not married or divorced multiple times. The families all over the world are fractured and broken. What do you think will be the outcome? Society is now in great disarray. It's broken. It's disorganized. You look at America. It's a shameful American conduct and way of life today. Why? What happened? Fornication, homosexuality are now the accepted norm. Christianity is now spurned, rejected, and the bulk of American brand of Christianity are all ecumenical. False Christianity, in other words. And you look at the state of America today. Military, they may still be considered as a superpower, but in terms of morality and ethics, they are definitely not the leaders anymore. They are bankrupt. Bankrupt. That's why the Lord's warning is, it will be well. In what way? In so many ways. For the nation, for the world, and for the church. Because all the families combined here together make up Truth BP Church. And if all your families are godly, and if all your children are godly in Christ, you learn to obey mom and dad, honor mom and dad. Truth, BP Church will be godly. Do you know that? Because all of you combined together make up the church. And so if the Christian husband obey the Lord, and the Christian wife obey the Lord, and the Christian children obey the Lord, you have a godly church that is rare, that everybody wants to be part of. It's up to you. If you are born again, the Lord has given you instruction on how to be a Christian wife, how to be a Christian husband, and this afternoon, how to be a Christian child. And if you are truly born again, God is just simply telling you what you are already created by God to do as a new creation in Christ. God is not forcing a round peg into a square hole. When you read these verses as a child of God and a child to your parents, it should be joy, it should be great delight, it should be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path to guide you at home on how to behave and relate to your mom and dad. And stop listening to the voice of the devil. Do you know that in Christ Jesus there is no such thing as generation gap? That is a term that the devil has sown to put a rift between mom and dad. Because if dad is a Christian, mom is a Christian, you are a Christian, every one of you follow the scripture, every one of you promote Christ, what gap do you have? No gap. So what generation gap? Mom and dad obey the Bible, you obey the Bible, mom and dad obey Christ, you obey Christ, everybody obey Christ, what gap? It doesn't exist. So stop listening to the voice of the God of this world and confuse your mind and your thinking. No generation gap between Christian parents and Christian children. There is only oneness, unity, where everyone in that home promote Christ. And everyone at home wants to obey the Bible. No gap. Only unity in Christ. This is the behavior and conduct of a Christian child. I hope it describes every child here. All the children, regardless of your age, as long as the parents are alive, it should describe you. Obey, honor, and be well. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for parents. For we know that they are chosen for us by Thee and Thee alone. And we know that You are a God who makes no mistakes. And whatever our parents are like, whoever they are, we know that they are not perfect. We know that they make mistakes like everyone else. We know that in times when they make mistakes, we get hurt. And yet, O God, You have saved us unto Thyself in Christ Jesus. And You have instructed us and commanded us to obey our parents in the Lord, for it is the right thing to do. And we are to honor our fathers and our mothers all the days of our lives, never to dishonor them in any way, in thought, in words, and definitely not in deeds. For it will be well with all of us, first, as truly born again sons and daughters of God. It will be well for us as a family, it will be well for us as a church, and it will be well for us as a society in the world. Help us, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children. May our honoring, obeying mom and dad be a clear evidence that we are truly children of God. Bless every child represented here this afternoon, and may the fear of God be in their hearts and convict them. And if they are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God, help them to honor and obey their fathers and their mothers in the Lord all the days of their lives until the Lord Jesus returns. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.